The NFL draft is over and the seven newest members of the Green Bay Packers are in the fold. So how do they fit into the depth chart? We'll find out with Cheesehead TV founder Aaron Nagler. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're recapping the NFL draft. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Cheesehead TV founder Aaron Nagler, Sports Illustrated analyst. How you doing today, Mr. Nagler? You survived the draft.
I did survive the draft. Thanks a lot for having me, Brian.
No problem.
I'm doing great. It's that Monday morning after the draft, you're kind of sorting through stuff and looking to dive in not only with the Packers but the entire NFL. It's a good time to be alive.
Well, let's dive in. Judging from your reaction on social media, it seems as if you were the GM of the Packers, you would have rolled the dice on Miles Jack. Is that fair? Do I have that correct?
You absolutely have that correct. To me, I know the concerns about his knee are there, and I know, obviously, 32 teams passed on him, or 31 teams, anyway, passed on him in that first round. But to me, he was the best player in the draft. And to get him at a position where the Packers have been destitute for so many years, desperately trying to patch it up with fourth-round picks and moving their best defensive player into a place where he's not comfortable and has oft-stated that he doesn't want to play, you know, this seems like a no-brainer to me. You get absolute explosion in athleticism, and yes, the knee, I get the concerns there, but even if the kid only plays 3 or 4 years, that's 3 or 4 years of elite play at inside linebacker, where we haven't seen anything even close to that in any number of years.
That being said, what do you think about Kenny Clark? What's his ceiling in the NFL and with the Packers?
You know, it's funny because I think he steps in and provides – maybe not exactly what B.J. Raji was providing, but I think he can be very similar. Just watching his tape over the last couple of days since the selection, I love his center of gravity. I love how it's pretty clear how much his work with wrestling has kind of translated into his football game. Yeah, he does a great job of getting down below guys, leveraging them up, and not being moved. I mean, that's the big thing to me. And then, you know, maybe not a great pass rusher, but I think there's potential there. He shows a little burst, a little quickness. It'll be interesting to see how much he's asked to be on the field. We know, you know, how much they had Raji on the field early on in his career. And, you know, I don't think there's any reason that this kid couldn't do something very similar. I mean, I know we got Raji in the top 10, but, you know, between the two of them, there's not a monster difference between their games. Maybe Raji was, you know, a bit faster off the snap of the ball, but other than that, you know, I think he'll come right in. He'll play obviously on the early downs, and he'll help them right away.
I think his lateral agility is really amazing for a player of his size. So I think that's what
absolutely.
He
finds the ball really well.
Yeah,
he's not one of those guys who comes flying in there.
Are you there, Aaron?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you for 1 second, but I got you back. Okay.
Was
the trade worth it that the Packers gave up to get Jason Spriggs? I know it's hindsight now, but, you know, they could have waited and got a guy like LaRaven Clark late in the second round, a guy they actually brought in for a pre-draft visit. So was it worth it in hindsight?
Yeah, I think so. I think Spriggs is a much better player. I think Clark, I think he'll have a good career in the league. I think he's much more of a project, whereas with Spriggs, if something happens to either one of their tackles, I think he will have the ability to step in and play right away. Now, you never know until we see them in camp, get the pads on, but in theory, I totally get it. I mean, especially after last year when you watched how things just kind of fell apart every time, you know, anytime they had to deal with injury, especially when Bakhtiari went out. If I never see Walker or Barclay at tackle again, I'll be a happy man. So, yeah, I totally understood it. And, you know, yes, they probably could have waited, but they wouldn't have gotten a player near the caliber. I'd talked to a couple people. It was funny, after, you know, the first night of the draft, I talked to my buddy out in Seattle. He had really wanted Spriggs for the Seahawks and was upset that they didn't get him. And then when the Packers traded up to get him, I got a text berating me that the Packers had taken his guy. I know there are teams that have first round grade on the kid. So I was really happy with the pick. I think trading up to get him, I totally understand it after the kind of fiasco they went through last year.
You absolutely know how it went down too. Like, the Packers offered their second and a fourth, and then the Colts said, okay, throw in a seventh and it's a deal. So they had to give that up to give it, I assume.
I think it's funny that the Colts are the ones that gave the shot, you know, took the trade when they're the ones who desperately need help along the offensive line. Take it.
Here's an uncomfortable question. Who's the starting left tackle in 2017? David Bakhtiari or Jason Spriggs?
Well, I think it's Bakhtiari. I know Packer fans have kind of a love-hate relationship with the guy, but I think he's proven to be one of the better left tackles in the league, especially in pass protection. And I know there are concerns about the number of penalties he is prone to, you know, kind of throwing up maybe even once a game. But, you know, Earl Dotson was no different. Earl Dotson made us, you know, claw our hair out from time to time with false start penalties, et cetera. And they won a Super Bowl with the guy. You know, Bakhtiari is as good as you could ever want at that position. Is he a premier left tackle? Is he a Joe Thomas? No, of course not. But there are very few of those in the NFL. I tend to think he's going to play very well this year, and you'll see an extension signed sometime, probably later on in the year.
Are you buying into the pass rush capabilities of Kyler Fackrell, a guy whose best season in college was 5 sacks?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really torn on this pick. I mean, it wasn't a deep class to begin with when it came to pass rushers, and they obviously, you know, took this kid at the point they did because they thought he was the best available on their board. I admittedly have not watched a whole lot. I've watched maybe 2 games now since the pick, and you know, I can see the attraction there, and I like his willingness. In his quotes, he was saying how he likes to kind of drop into coverage, which is a rare thing for an edge rusher to say. But so, you know, you're not going to get any reticence there, and he does seem to have the athleticism. But yeah, the lack of production, and I know he was dealing with injuries, you know, one of the reasons he dropped. And I'd like the fit for the Packers defense. It'll be interesting to see how quickly he can get up to speed.
We're talking to Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV founder here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Aaron, obvious need at inside linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. Do you believe Blake Martinez can compete for a starting job his rookie season?
I'll be very surprised. I think he'll maybe see some playing time. He may battle Joe Thomas for that dime linebacker spot. But as a starter, I think that's a stretch. I like what I've seen from the kid. I think he's quick as hell. He's really good out in space. I think from what I've seen, I really like him in kind of the coverage situation, like taking a tight end down the seam or going out and getting out into the flat and shutting stuff down in the passing game. But just from a straight up, you know, playing from first to third down, I really don't like what I see when it comes to defending the run. He's not, to me, he's not a traditional kind of three down player. He's not a guy you're going to want in there thumping on first down on rundowns. But you know, that's the beauty of competition. And that's the beauty of camp, is that you're going to bring this kid in, you slap the pads on him and see how he does. Now, maybe he'll surprise everybody and take that spot. But to me, I think, you know, if they go with their off-stated goal of getting, you know, Clay Matthews back outside, I think we're going to see Sam Barrington and Jake Ryan on first downs, and then we'll see how the chips fall on third down. But I'll be very surprised if he's a starter out of the gate.
You alluded to it earlier. What is up with the Packers? A seemingly aversion to inside linebackers from a GM who himself was an inside linebacker. It's getting to the point where it's stupefying to me, because not just from a talent standpoint, I mean, you're almost getting to the point from a depth standpoint where the Packers are an injury away from Jake Ryan, where you're starting inside linebackers would be Sam Barrington, a guy coming off an injury, and Blake Martinez, a rookie, then you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, and I think, I mean, that points to the obvious that I don't think Clay Matthews' days inside are as maybe as over as everyone was thinking they were. I mean, it's one thing for Mike McCarthy to say he wants to put Clay back outside, but if he's not given the, ultimately not given the tools to do so, well, then he's got to stay inside. And, you know, yeah, it is frustrating. It's interesting, though, because I get the reticence in regards to positional value in this defense because, you know, they're so specialized and we've seen them use guys in such different ways. And I understand it would be a great luxury to have, you know, a backer who could play all three downs and was dynamic and, you know, was, you know, like maybe like a Luke Kuechly type or a Ray Lewis type, somebody who's just amazing and comes in there and is never off the field and is the leader of your defense, et cetera, et cetera. And I get the value of that. And it is frustrating that the Packers continually, for whatever reason, miss out on drafting those guys and signing them in free agency, what have you. But at the same time, you know, it's much more important to get solidified up front, which is why I understand the Clark pick. And I understand their kind of continual, I guess, they keep bringing people in up front for obvious reasons. This is a real meat and potatoes draft on both sides of the ball. You got to get those big guys, as Tez Fonz is saying, you know, the good Lord only made so many. But at the same time, you never see the Packers with a difference maker there in the middle of the field. And traditionally, and you know, the old adage goes, is you know, you want a strong defense, you got to be strong up the middle. Well, the Clark pick, you know, obviously speaks to getting stronger in the middle up front. They've got the safety position sorted. The middle of that defense, yet again in 2016, appears to be a big question mark. Now, that doesn't mean they can't develop someone there. Maybe Martinez becomes the answer. Maybe a second year, you know, a second year in the league, Jake Ryan takes a huge step, and that's when guys traditionally do in their second year. But, yeah, right now on paper, sitting here right after the draft, it's mystifying.
That kind of leads me right into my next question here. My reaction to the Packers adding a run-stuffing five technique like Dean Lowry was that between him and Clark and not addressing inside linebacker until later on, their philosophy is really, let's keep the blockers off the inside linebackers. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think there's any question there because of what we were just talking about. If you're not going to have a guy who's all world, all everything, whatever, in the middle, you better keep him clean. You definitely don't want someone like Blake Martinez getting, you know, having to take on pulling guards and guys getting to the second level on him. The one guy who's shown a consistent ability to, you know, shed those guys and make a tackle is Sam Barrington. Obviously, they really missed him last year when he went down, especially on early downs. Obviously, they had to move on from Palmer, who was just a disaster, and they've done that. They absolutely have to keep those guys clean. They don't have an all-world talent, so they better make their job as easy as possible.
With the addition of Trevor Davis, it kind of creates a logjam at the wide receiver position, and I know issues right. like that have a way of taking care of themselves with injuries and whatnot, but how do you think things are going to shake out there?
Yeah, I mentioned it on Twitter earlier this weekend during the draft. It's funny because these picks happen, and everybody instantly says things, you know, when the Spriggs pick happened, well, goodbye Sitton, goodbye Lang, goodbye Bakhtiari. You know, the wide receiver pick gets happening. It's like, oh, well, you know, goodbye, Everdarris, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, to me, I just don't think they operate like that. It's not a question of, I mean, obviously there is some, you know, you got to be ready for when contracts are up and injuries strike, et cetera. But you know, ultimately it's about bringing talent into your program. And they needed speed at the wide receiver position. And that is very clear why this kid was drafted is his speed. I don't think he's done much punt returning. He's done a little kick returning, and he'll be able to help there. But if he's going to help this team in a big way, especially his first year, it's going to be by getting downfield and opening things up, something Sam Steele alluded to in his press availability. So, yeah, I mean, what does it mean for the wide receiver position? I think we can say that Nelson, coming off his injury, you know, and still the number one wide receiver on this team, he's a lock. I think Randall Cobb is a lock, just signed a new contract extension last offseason. It's not like they're going anywhere with him. After that, I'm of the mind it's bring everybody to camp and have them compete, you know, and no one's promised anything. Even a guy like Devontae Adams, even a guy like Ty Montgomery, we don't know what we're going to get from him. Yes, he's a high pick and he's only in his second year, but coming off an injury, you never know what a guy's going to look like. Now, I'm not, you know, I have kind of every confidence that he's going to come in and look great. I've talked to the people he was working out with down there in Arizona earlier this offseason. By all accounts, he looks fantastic. Mike has said he's going to be ready for camp. My hope is he just steps on the field, takes off running from where he left off. But of course, that, as we know all too well, that's never a given. So he's going to have to battle. Adams is going to have to battle. Aberderis and Janice are going to have to battle. I think it's going to be the highlight of camp. It's going to be great to watch these guys really compete and, you know, try and stake their claim, so to speak. I don't think anything's settled past those first top two spots.
Before we let you go, who among the reported undrafted free agents are you perhaps most excited to see?
The running back out of Nevada, Don Jackson. I think this kid can be special. I think he can add, you know, an element to the offense that, you know, maybe not what, you know, Paul Perkins might have added, my darling of the draft, who I really wanted the Packers to get. But, you know, I think he'd offer a good change of pace. He's not a burner, but he's quick, and he's a, you know, a hell of a worker from what I hear. And I think he could, you know, there's a spot there. They always like to keep that third back. And let's face it, you know, Eddie Lacy's entering the last year of his contract. James Starks is not getting any younger. There's a spot there. There's an opportunity there. So I'm interested to see him compete in camp.
Interesting choice there. I'm excited to see all of them, really. But, yeah, Aaron, thanks so much for talking to me this morning. Appreciate you taking a few minutes. Enjoy digesting the draft, I guess, and analyzing these guys.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me, Brian.
All right. Take care. Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV founder, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Since our last episode of Railbird Central, we did a special edition Saturday in the middle of the fourth round, or right after the Packers selected their two players in the fourth round. We went on air, we talked about Blake Martinez, we talked about Dean Lowry. And so I guess I just want to give my off-the-cuff reactions to the final two players the Packers added here before we move on to other topics. But and we talked about what Aaron just talked about with Aaron Nagler here. First of all, the fifth round draft choice of the Green Bay Packers, wide receiver Trevor Davis. And I think, you know, Aaron basically stole my thunder a little bit in that, you know, if the Packers were going to draft a wide receiver, it almost had to be somebody with pretty elite speed. And I think that's what you're getting out of Davis here. He's a guy who ran in the 4.4 range at the NFL Combine. It's always interesting. You hear about these guys running like 4.3s, and they're all timed at like pro days for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know if it's just pro days, and it's a lot of times they're, you know, the stopwatches are quicker. There's even, you know, rumors sometimes that they're not even running a true 40. They're running like 39 yards or something like that. But anyway, Trevor Davis would seem to have good deep speed, and that's what the Packers really need because, I mean, aside from Jeff Janis, who's got, you know, elite and legit deep speed, maybe there's nobody else on the roster that's really known for that. I mean, you got a guy who's known for his quickness, like Randall Cobb. You got a guy who's known, maybe at one point Jordy Nelson was elite deep speed. Now coming off from the injury, we don't really know anymore. Hopefully he's back to 100% of what he was, but we can't really count on that. You know, obviously, Davante Adams is not a deep threat. He's a possession receiver, maybe a red zone target. You know, same for tight end Richard Rodgers. You're hoping Jared Cook can stretch the field. You're hoping he stretches the seam. You're hoping a guy like Trevor Davis can, you know, be speed on the edge, speed on the outside, as opposed to speed on the inside from a guy like Trevor Cook. Trevor Davis, an interesting case here. He went to Hawaii, actually, started his playing career there, transferred to Cal, and, you know, kind of talked about there, you know, being he wanted to step up in competition, and that's admirable and all those kind of things you worry a little bit about. I know I did kind of just off the cuff, you know, like, oh, Hawaii and California, not exactly cold weather kind of places. But then you look, his hometown's Rockford, Illinois. It's just across the Wisconsin border. Interesting. Kyle Murphy is too. Or pardon me. So they're who? Why am I losing this here? Spriggs is a native of Rockford, Illinois. Just interesting there, in that both of them so close to the state of Wisconsin there. But yeah, so he's a Midwest kind of guy and has big hands. I think that's so huge. I think that's really an underrated part of scouting, is simply looking at that hand size. The Packers are not going to draft a wide receiver or a quarterback with 9-inch hands. They're not going to do that. It's got to be like 10. If you're gonna play in the cold weather in Green Bay, it's bigger for a team like Green Bay than it would be a team down in Florida. That's got to be a much bigger concern, where you're playing in cold climates, like Green Bay, like Chicago, like formerly Minnesota when they were outside at, you know, TCF Bank Stadium. Not going to be anymore. But anyway, still a lot of cold games at Lambeau Field regardless. So there's your reaction to Trevor Davis. Well, finally, Kyle Murphy, interesting pick there, in that, you know, you thought the Packers, well, they addressed the tackle position early in the draft with Spriggs, then they grab one later. I don't think the Packers are necessarily, you know, saying that Kyle Murphy is going to play tackle for them. They might certainly start with him there. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they try him out at guard, you know, especially knowing, okay, TJ Lang and Josh Sitton are upcoming free agents and they couldn't need one next year. But I mean, they probably simply looked at it like sixth round and thought, well, he's, you know, one of the best players left on the board, so let's take him. I certainly thought Kyle Murphy would come off the board a little bit sooner, like the mid rounds, like fourth or fifth, and ends up, you know, the Packers still around when the Packers draft in the sixth. But we'll see what he's got. Obviously, a lot to be learned there. Played 1 year of right tackle at Stanford, starting experience. I'm talking about 1 year of left tackle, starting experience at Stanford. Not sure if he's a left tackle in the NFL, probably right at best, if not inside. We learn once they get in camp. I'm sure he's probably not going to play much left tackle, at least to begin with, because you imagine, you know, that's Spriggs is going to get those snaps. Kyle Murphy might get the right tackle snaps, and we'll see which of them, you know, end up kicking inside, you know, perhaps later on. And, you know, they'll experiment with that throughout training camp, at least for some of them. But there you go. That wraps up pretty much the NFL draft portion of it. And now the Packers had all sorts of undrafted free agent signings. And so just so you're aware, I mean, the approach I'm taking this week is, you know, we got three episodes, as always, on Railbird Central, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Okay. Today, Monday, was kind of the reaction to the draft picks. Wednesday's episode is going to be talking about the undrafted free agents, Packers signing about 20 of them. There'll be plenty to talk about on Wednesday. We've already got a guy from Pro Football Focus coming in and going to talk about the stuff that they did in college and things like that. And then we're going to talk about the tryout guys, at least a little bit, on Friday. Obviously, by the time you get to the tryout guys, certainly not as much information about them out there as some of the others, but we're going to do our best because it's pretty much the only opportunity to talk about the tryout guys. So draft picks today, undrafted free agents Wednesday, tryout guys on Friday. So lots of rookie football player talk this week. So that's how we're breaking it down. But just to give you the names here of the undrafted free agents, and again, these are all reports at this point, because they don't even sign the contract till they get in town. They basically, you know, come to a handshake agreement, a verbal agreement over the phone. Okay, this is what we're going to give you. Some of them going to get a signing bonus, some are not. But, it, you know, some of the more interesting ones here, I think the most notable one, perhaps, was inside linebacker Boniquas Brown out of Mississippi State. Obviously, you know, a position of need for the Green Bay Packers Aaron Nagler, talked about the kid from Nevada running back, Don Jackson. The interesting one here, Joe Callahan, quarterback out of Wesley College. Just interesting because, you know, he plays the quarterback position and going to back up Aaron Rodgers. Punter Peter Martell from Minnesota could really, you know, if he does a good job, legitimately could provide competition to Tim Mastay. And I'll just run through the rest of the names here. We'll get into them more on Wednesday. Cornerback Mackinton Dorleant from Northern Iowa. Linebacker Manoa Pakula from Brigham Young. Cornerback Josh Hawkins from East Carolina. Running back Brandon Burks from Troy. Defensive end slash outside linebacker, edge defender Reggie Gilbert of Arizona. Defensive tackle Brian Price from Texas. Cornerback Warren Gatewood from Alcorn State. Wide receiver Geronimo Allison from Illinois. Tight end David Greenwich from North Carolina State. Wide receiver Devontae Robinson, Utah State. Defensive tackle Tyler Cooter, Idaho State. Tackle Josh James from Carroll College. That being in Montana. I know there's a Carroll College in Wisconsin. Cornerback Randall Jett, Massachusetts. Defensive back Kentrell Bryce, Louisiana Tech. Georgia Tech safety Damon Smith. And Rice wide receiver Dennis Parks. So those are from a variety of outlets that have reported these. Like I said, going to become official later in the week as the Packers announce their signings once they bring them into rookie camp. So yeah, rookie camp projected, anticipated, that's going to be this upcoming weekend. Like usually Friday, Saturday, they have the rookies in town for the little two-day mini camp, put them through a little bit of practice, put out the tryout guys through practice and end up signing two, three of them or so. So that's what's to look forward to later in the week. But as for right now, we'll get to this.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Monday, of course, you know, everybody's interested in all the new rookies and the draft choices and all that. But as far as, you know, now that they've, you know, selected the rookie class, they've come to agreements with the undrafted free agents. What's happening today, it actually has more to do with the veterans on the team. It is now, as of today, phase two of the off-season workout program in Green Bay. So if you remember how it all works, phase one is just simply strength and conditioning. You remember it was 2 weeks ago today that all the veterans came back to Green Bay. All Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Clay Matthews and company, and everybody on the roster all came back to Green Bay. And they were simply doing strength and conditioning only for 2 weeks. Like I say, they get back into it, baby steps. You know, they don't want to overextend them, you know, when it's the month of April. They certainly don't want to push them and pull a muscle or anything. Strength and conditioning only. Now that they got 2 weeks of that in the books, this week now, phase two is basically IPWs, and what that stands for is individual position workouts. That means players are working with their position coaches, basically on technique. So all the quarterbacks together, wide receivers together, running backs, tight ends, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, et cetera, you get the idea. They're all working with their coach on things like technique, and this lasts 3 weeks. So you can imagine right now that the big focus in Green Bay right now, now that the rookie class is signed, but they haven't come to Green Bay yet, they really want to focus these next few days, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Let's get this week of IPWs out of the way so Friday, Saturday, they can focus on the rookies that are coming in who get their rookie mini camp, you know, this upcoming weekend. And then it'll be back to normal with going back to next week, a week from now, continuing with phase two. And the rookies will be integrated into the program with the individual position workouts, working on technique. You can just imagine all the tight ends on the roster getting together. You know, Jared Cook working with his new tight end coach, Brian Angelico. and Richard Rodgers and Justin Prill and all of them working on the finer points of tight end play, from blocking to receiving to catching, all those kind of things, individual position workouts. That's the focus of phase two of the off-season workout program. So last 3 weeks, and that's at the end of phase two. Phase three is the beginning of OTAs, and that's when they come together and practice and have 11-on-11s and things like that. So we're talking 3 weeks down the road here once they start getting to that point. And that's good because it gives a chance for the rookies to become integrated and learn a little bit before they really start getting into a team environment and really start throwing a lot at them. So this is a time here for them to you know, ease into things a little bit and just do a little bit of learning. So there you go. That's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Like I said, that'll do it for today's episode. We're looking forward to on Wednesday talking about all these undrafted free agents. We'll get that later. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today. Before I do, my call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, we ask of you, give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge. So is Cheesehead DB, the website in general. No subscription, no paywall. We'd really appreciate it if you could give us a rating and a review. Just go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. But we'll see you Wednesday. I leave you today with a song called Best Feeling by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
My road.